he suddenly pulled his hamstring and crumpled to the track race. But he was determined to finish that race. So he jumped up, struggled to his feet, and started limping on that track. And he was going to the finishing line. Seeing all this, his father, who was there in the audience in the stadium, his name was Jim Redmond, he reached out to his son. And the young runner leaned upon his father, and together along with his father, they finished the race. And at that time, the entire crowd in the stadium stood and encouraged them. And it was as if the runner and his father and the crowd all made together to that to the finishing line. This Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 reminds us of a great race that is ahead of us. Before we go to the passage, I want to give you a brief background of what this passage is all about. The writer of Hebrews is writing this epistle at a time when the people of God were distressed, they were in trials and affliction. And we do not know exactly who has written this epistle, but we are sure of one thing, that his audience knew very well who had written this epistle. They were definitely the Hebrew people, and they had professed to believe in Lord Jesus Christ, accepted him as his personal savior, and had come out from the Jewish traditions and the temple and the law, and they have come out to Jesus as their savior. But when they were in this way, what happened is that they suffered persecution and they were ridiculed, and many of them they died because of the persecution. And the writer of this Hebrew is writing this epistle to encourage them to stay in this new way. And here, this epistle is written as an encouragement for us also after 2,000 years, even when we are in this world, as an encouragement in our spiritual journey. When we read this epistle of Hebrews of 13 chapters, we can see a word, let us, is repeated many times. The word let us is repeated almost 13 times in this short epistle. If you see in chapter 4 verse 1, it says, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Again we see in chapter 4 verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Again we see in 4 verse 14, let us hold fast our confession. 4 verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Chapter 6 verse 1, it says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go to maturity. 10 verse 22 says, let us draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Again, 10 verse 23 we see, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. 10 verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And this chapter 12 verse 1 we see, let us lay aside every weight, a sin so easily ensnares us. Again, this chapter 12 verse 1, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Chapter 12 verse 28, it says, let us have grace. Chapter 13 verse 13 says, therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp bearing the reproach. Again 13 verse 15, it says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. My dear brothers, let me remind you that nothing is written in the scriptures in accident. It is God breath. Every word, every sentence is God breath. And here we see the writer of Hebrews is saying, let us so many times. It is that he is not considering him as somebody above his readers, but he is seeing along with his readers, he want to encourage each one of us. Let us read this with this background. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that set that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here is a very encouraging exhortation in the epistle of Hebrews. It's starting with wherefore or therefore. Of course, we understand wherever the word therefore is used, that means it is linking something with the previous chapter. We also understand that the chapters and verses came much later when after the Bible was finished. And here we can understand that this particular verse is actually a concluding statement of what was written previously in this chapter number 11. What is in chapter number 11? Chapter number 11 I call as a Christian hall of faith, wherein many believers are recorded who had who were heroes of faith, like Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and many others. A few days back, I went to the Legislative Assembly. I saw so many prime ministers, premiers of Saskatchewan. So, similarly, in chapter number 11, so many heroes of faith are recorded in chapter number 11. They all ran in their faith life. They were blessed in their running, and they endured to the very end. Many of them, they were persecuted, and they were even killed because of their faith. And through their testimonies, the scripture is reminding us that we should also run. Let us also run. In this passage, I want to present to you five things that we can learn from this small passage. First thing is, a Christian life is shown as a race, or an event in our life. Christian life is depicted as a race. That means it needs a great effort from our life to run that race. It is not a sprint that we can quickly complete, but it is compared to a marathon, which there is a long race. In this verse we can see it says, let us run with patience. To run a marathon, we need lots and lots of patience. Patient to see the race and patient to run that race. Okay. Now, if you see, any race starts, there's a starting, there is a middle portion where he's running, and there is an end. So here, a Christian life is compared to a race that is happening. And the race starts when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That is the moment when a spiritual race starts in your life and in my life. And apart from faith in Christ Jesus, you're not in that race. This reminds me of the picnic that we had in Wascana Park recently. And I remember the boys were all running, and I took the photo also, and there was a stranger who was running in that race. But the first prize, I think one of the McLean boys got it, but we never gave that prize to the stranger. You see, because he was not a member of our assembly. Similarly, those who are not a child of God, they are not in that race. Apart from faith in Christ, you are not in that faith race. Second thing that we can understand is that Bible scholars say that this race refers to our Christian life and our ministry towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And through this portion, Holy Spirit is calling us that we have to run the race that is ahead of us. This race is not a jogging. This race is not a sprint, but this race is a marathon. Marathon means continuously we have to keep on running that race. There are many moments in our life that our race has almost be compared to a crawling. Sometimes our race is, we may be discouraged and we may be almost walking or crawling in our race. But here the Holy Spirit is telling us we are not supposed to crawl or to just walk, but we have to run that race. Many times we may fall to temptation, or we are discouraged in our race, and that can make us to run instead of running, we might be walking. Let us not be discouraged. Let us run that race. Third thing that we can learn is that this race, as a runner, needs a lot of training in our life. It needs dedication from our part and strict guidelines that have to be followed if you have to run a long race like a marathon. One of my colleagues, he is running for a Regina race that is happening in September. And he has been practicing for months and months for that race. Similarly, for a believer, his race is a Christian race, and we need to have a strict discipline or guideline, and we have a dedication for that Christian race. That is why this race is we have to run with patience. Another thing that we can learn from this passage is that this race is set before us. We see in verse 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This race is set before each one of us. That means everybody is participating, young or old, men or women. We are all asked to run that race. Few years back, when I was asking one of our brothers in the assembly in Middle East, brother, why don't you get up on a Sunday to share from the word or preach? Oh, he said, no, brother, I just want to be a normal Christian in our life. Brothers, there is nothing called normal Christian. There is a Christian, a somebody who is to actively be running in that race. There is nothing called normal Christian life. So, okay, the first thing we learn is that we are in a Christian race. That is an event that is happening. Second thing, there is encouragement in this verse. A cloud of witness is there as an encouragement. We see here, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. This is referring to the saints who run the race in chapter number 11 that we just heard about Abel, Enoch and Abraham and their likes who had already run that race. They run the race pleasing God by their lives, and they have finished their race that there was set before them. And in this light, we are encouraged that we should also run like them. When I was a child, I used to think that they are all like witnessing our race, probably cheering us that we should run that race. Brothers and sisters, it is nothing like that. Even in some of the funerals, you might have heard some of the testimonies that so and so have died and they are in heaven and they are looking down to us that how we are running. My dear brothers, scriptures doesn't say anything of that. In fact, scripture says in Philippians chapter 1 verse 23, is saying, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. When somebody dies, he is with Christ. He is no longer looking down from heaven and cheering us. He is preoccupied with Christ, who is much better for him or her. In Luke chapter 16 verse 26, wherein is recorded the rich man and the Lazarus, both of them die. The rich man died and he went to hell. And Lazarus died and went to heaven. And we see Jesus telling that there is a great gulf between the person who is with God and person who is in hell. Similarly, there is a great gulf between those who are in the presence of God and those who are right now in earth. This also brings to another fact that no saint in heaven is hearing our prayer. There is no point in praying to the dead. There are many churches we can see, they're praying to the dead. No, they don't hear our prayer. So they do not have any preoccupation with things on the earth. So we see the cloud of witness is those people in chapter number 11 who had lived sacrificially in their life, and they are now an example for us that we should also run similar to them, even during trials, even during problems or temptation or in our life, that we can run and complete that race. Another thing that we can learn is that we are not alone in that race. So many people have already run. They have completed that race that were ahead of them. And Lord was pleased with their race. They were all looking to the Lord for when they were running in that race. They were running for the Lord and they were looking towards the Lord when they were running. Similarly, we are also running. We are serving the Lord in our own capacity. Probably as a student. Probably as a person who is employed in a company. Probably you are retired. But you are still running that race. We may be sometimes discouraged that, oh, I am alone in my company, or I am alone in my my society or my school who is a believer. There is nobody else. Everybody else is doing things which is contrary to what it is written in the Bible. And I am alone. What is the point in doing all these things? My dear brothers, let me tell you, there are many, many people who are around you who are running this race all around the world. Do you remember Elijah when he was discouraged and he was running away from Jezebel? He was hiding in a cave. He told to the Lord, "Lord, I am alone. Nobody else is there." The Lord told, "I have kept 7,000 people around who did not bow their knees before Baal." So let us be encouraged that we are not alone in that race. Many have completed that race and they are in the presence of the Lord. Our race is still not complete. That's why we are in this earth and we have to run the race with all encouragement. So we understood that there is a race and we understood we have been encouraged to run that race faithfully. Third thing that we can understand, there are a few conditions in that race. There is that we have to see. What is that? And we see in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us." In a few of the translation, the weight the word it is written as encumbrance in some of the translation. I looked up in the dictionary, it says encumbrance means restrict or burden, or someone or something in such a way that free action or movement is difficult. So weight or encumbrance is something which is hindering your movement to run that race. So there can be some useless weight in our life which is keeping us away from running that race. I was following this Olympics, it is happening in Paris very well, and I heard a news about an Indian wrestler. Her name is Vinish Fogart. She was disqualified from her wrestling because she had 100 grams extra weight than she was allowed to compete. So she did not win that medal. What a sad, sad for her that she just lost that medal because she had an extra weight. Similarly, we see here, everybody is running, and we have weight, we have to throw that excess weight, then only we can run effectively for the Lord. Think of a situation in your life. If you are asked to run a race, will you run a race with an overcoat and keep running? You cannot run that race, right? You cannot. It will be so heavy that you have to throw off that weight, and then only you will be able to race effectively for the Lord. So next thing that we see here is, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So we understand the writer is saying two different things, weight and sin. It is two different things. Both of them slow you down. It will entangle you. It will restrict you from running. So weight may not be something which is sinful, but it may be something which drags you down, which does not allow you to keep running. When the Hebrew people, when they came out from their religious system, they took along with them some Jewish legalistic things that they were doing in Jewish life. But here in Paul, saying Galatians chapter 3 verse 3, saying, "Having begun in spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" My dear brothers, there may be things in our life, in your life, in my life, which may not be sinful, but it may be slowing you down in that race, hindering you to go further in that race. Sometimes in our life, we are plagued by things which are doubtful, whether this is sin or not. Is it a sin to go in such and such party? No, it may not be a sin, but it might hinder you, slow you down in your Christian life. Is it a sin to hear a country music? Possibly not, but will it hinder you or help you in that Christian race? There may be nothing wrong for a runner to eat donut and chocolate milk, but he might not do because he cannot run with that extra flap around his body. It may be counterproductive for his goal. So if your goal is to win that race, then we have to change our habit, let go of that extra weight. That's what the writer is saying. And another thing that we here read is that not only that we have to lay aside that extra weight, we have to lay aside the sin which so easily beset us. In some of the translations it says, entangles us. The sin, it is not specific sin that is mentioned. It can could be any sin, but it, here we see the print and the aspect of sin. It surrounds us, it entangles us and hinders us from running further in our life. So, John MacArthur gives this explanation for this. Sin at its heart is always unbelief. So, in a sense, you could sum up the sin as an unbelief. You always engage in an act of unbelief when you sin. So, sin is basically unbelief. That means not believing in God's word. So, faith is something, is taking God at His word. Because God has said, I will do, because God has written it in His word. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So we are asked that not only we have to remove those weights or those useless things in our life to run ahead that hinders us from moving, but we have to recognize the sin in our life that entangles us, that does not allow us to grow spiritually, that does not allow us to grow to run that Christian life. And we have to desire the pure milk that is the word of God in our life. So we saw that Christian life is like an event, a race, and we have encouragement, that great cloud of witness we have already, who have already run that race, and there are many more who are running along with us in our race. And we saw the conditions of the race, the weight, the encumbrance that we have to remove, and the sin that we have to recognize, and we have to ask forgiveness from the Lord. A fourth thing that we can understand is that this race has a lot of conflict. There is a great conflict that is happening in that race. It says, let us, that is why it says, let us run with patience. Amplified Bible, it says, let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence. That means, despite of impediments, despite of problems or trials, we are asked that we should continue to run that race. In chapter number 2, verse number 2 says that when we are running, we have to look to Jesus for that race, because Jesus has already run that race. And we see the words used for race in verse 2, he says, he endured the cross. Again, we say, he despised the shame. There is shame in that race, endure, and it has to be endured. Then verse 3, he says, there is a contradiction of sinners. Then you will be wearied in your race. Then you will faint in your mind. We see in that race, there is a lot of problems in that race. It is not a sweet rose of bed. But many in prosperity gospel, we see, they claim that when you accept Jesus, you will have all your problems resolved. It is nothing like that. We see here, this race is full of problems. There is a lot of tiredness. There is a lot of fainting. There is a lot of weariness in that race. In spite of all this, many have already run, and we are also advised or encouraged that we should also run. And if you see from chapter number 11, verse 35 to 38, we see the people who had already run, they also did not have any smooth life. Here we see many were tortured. See, look at the words that are used. They are tortured. Verse 36, they had cruel mocking and scourgings. They were imprisoned. 37. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They wandered in sheepskin and goats, and they were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. You see, the race has a lot of trials, and we are asked that in spite of all these conflicts, in spite of all this, we are supposed to run the race that is set before each one of us. And there is a great example for us. Example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the captain of our race. He has already run that race. In verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our race. We understand that if you have to run a race, we have to look ahead instead of looking at the track. If you look at a track, or if your attention is diverted, you might hit a person who's running next to you. I remember long back, in 1986 Asian Games Olympics, there was a person called Shiny Wilson. She was from the same province or state from which I come, and she ran that race, but she was disqualified because she did not run in the track that was set for her, but she ran some other track and she lost her. She was disqualified from that race. But here we see, we are asked to look at Jesus Christ, who was a perfect example for all of us. We see in chapter number 11, there are a lot of witnesses who have already run that race. They would have said, yes, I run that race, I had so many problems, but I run the race effectively. But they were never perfect in their life. They had a lot of problems. Many of them were persecuted. Many of them were terribly tested and tempted. And they failed in that temptation also. But they were all recorded as they ran at a faithful life. Here we see a perfect example. Above all these witnesses is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is perfect. None of them were perfect, but He is alone is perfect. And that should encourage us, and that is how we should run that race, by putting our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the author of our salvation. Here we see He is the author, because in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 we says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." Even the faith that we have is a gift from God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. He is the author of our faith, and we see He is the finisher of our faith. He is the one who would be a perfecter of our faith. A few of the translations say perfecter of our faith. That means He is sanctifying us on our daily run to the end. He is sanctifying us. How does He sanctify? By reading of the God's word and hearing God's word, and the Holy Spirit working in our life. He is sanctifying us, perfecting us in our race to Zion. And in a race, there is a finish line. And that finish line, our Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for us with a reward that is an incentive for us for the Lord. Because in the very end, we are all expecting a statement, "Well done and faithful servant." My dear brothers and sisters, let us all reminded that we are all in that race. Nobody is exempted, young or old. Everybody is running. Let us be encouraged, because a great many crowd has already run that race effectively. They were not perfect, but they all run and completed that race. And one day, the Lord is expecting we should also complete the race that is set before us. Let us be encouraged by looking at our Lord Jesus Christ, who is a perfect example for us. He has already completed it. He is the author of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. Let these words encourage us in our spiritual journey, our spiritual race to Zion. May His name be glorified.